isn't good.
Hello and welcome to episode 276 of Crippled System. I'm assuming we're live because that's the facial expression Andy gave us. My name is Nathan.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Dave.
Hooray!
I don't know why I suddenly went
Southern.
Yes, we successfully navigated anti-clockwise.
It's called Wittershins.
Jesus.
Wittershins and anti-Wittershins. I don't know what this clockwise shit is.
Wittershins and DSO.
It's turnwise and Wittershins, really, if you want to go full on.
But. Also, this episode is brought to you by Andy's half-empty stomach and Subway.
Sure. And Pepsi with real sugar, apparently.
Pepsi with real sugar is amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Okay. There's a, I pushed a knot. Oh, and I can push buttons. Oh, that's making them lighter. So you can change. Oh, now he's purple. Boing.
There you go. For our audio podcast listeners.
I was confused because I literally, from where I'm sitting, I cannot see the elephant.
Yeah. So that was the elephant that was sent to us by Amazon in place of Deep Rising, the movie with Treat Williams. And then I was supposed to return it. I gave it a month to return, and I'm like, I was too lazy to drive down to the store in Madison. And it literally is just like almost like a straight shot to the Amazon store.
Sure.
There you go. Now I have this useless piece of shit.
So, I mean, you got that instead of Deep Rising?
I bought another copy of
Deep Rising. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you got out better on that deal.
Yeah. I think that's probably like a $30 deal, yeah. $30 thing. And my Deep Rising, I think, was like 10 bucks.
Yeah, well, you know.
Instead of that, you got something with a remote control.
Yeah. A useless elephant with a remote control.
I put him on multicolor.
Yeah, so he's just rotating now.
Yep.
It's perfect for the audio podcast listeners because they could see everything.
Well, you know, if they watched us live, they could enjoy that elephant.
Or if I would ever decide to put them up on YouTube, because I have not put up. I have like 15 episodes to put up onto YouTube. I think the last one was like 260.
Well, you know, that seems like effort.
I know of one person that only watches the YouTube versions. And he always yells at me because I put him out in like batches of five or six.
So he has to spend like a whole day binge watching.
So
I mean, it's just Crippled System, the TV show. You're going to have to wait an hour and a half to find out why we shit on the toilet.
Yeah.
We shit on the toilet? Wait, what?
No, we shit in the toilet, Dan, not on it. This isn't Pegasus. We're not playing Yu-Gi-Oh.
You Upper Deck? Nothing's better than Upper Decking somebody you don't like.
Okay.
You've never had the pleasure of Upper Decking somebody, Andy?
No, I have not. I have not done that because that's wrong.
It's very wrong. And that's what that person gets for inviting me to their house despite knowing that I hate them.
What did the Shays ever do to you?
They don't invite me to their house. We play at Brian's.
So, announcements. MuseonCon is next weekend. Or this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. So I know tickets are still available. I know events are still open. So, you know, hey, if you want to get your Guild Ball, your War Machine, your Batman the Miniatures, your Infinity, or what other shenanigans they got going there, should check out MuseonStore.com and head on over.
I just got a notification that Crippled System is streaming.
What?
I just got a notification. The crippled says, "Hey, yo, it is episode 275.
Hey, I forgot to update that.
That's okay. I think we literally never have that updated.
No, it has been. I haven't been as meticulous as I should have been, but it has been updated once in a while. What else is happening? Origins is next month. Crippled System will actually be there.
Sure.
I will be there, so I don't know if anybody else is going from Madison.
Well, that is still a Crippled System representative at Origins, so that counts.
So my goal for that, because Origins is really, really board game related, and it has a lot of newer board games that are usually debuting there, or you know, companies are trying to promote their board games there. I'm going to try to do some actual video interviews
sure.
with folks there to see for doing that. So I think it would be kind of cool.
June 1st is International Tabletop Game Day.
Yes.
So I know a lot of friendly local game stores will be doing special events and demo days and stuff like that. So just as a nebulous pseudo announcement, you know, check and see if your local store is doing something like that. It's a good time to try out new board games and tabletop miniatures games that you might be interested in, get some demos on. I know I personally will be running Monpok demos here in Madison.
I will be running Guild Ball demos then.
There you go. So show up and play some Guild Ball or some Monpok.
We should be next to each other.
And fight over them.
Yeah, and fight over new players. Yeah. No, I was thinking about we should be next to each other for when nobody shows up for our demos, that we could each demo each other's stuff.
There you go. Perfect. And I know, I don't know if it's official yet or not, but Travis was thinking about running a Monpok event June 8th in Milwaukee. And then I would then run a Monpok event June 22nd. Is that how math works? Yes, 22nd here in Madison. Those are a couple tenuous, nebulous events that may be happening.
Not to rain on your parade.
Is that Origins?
No, that is Origins.
Meh.
But it's also the same weekend that Pegasus got the D&D Adventures Group.
That's okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you might need only a couple tables.
Yeah, I don't know Monpok. Yeah, because Monpok has a small enough footprint that I feel that we will have space to share.
Yeah, I was thinking about trying to run a Guild Ball event for that day.
And by that, he means I run a Guild Ball event.
Yeah.
I was in on this one. Dan, so I could it wasn't this. Fully, like, I wasn't getting fully ricked, but.
I was going to tell you, who's Quimby-ing you now?
Yeah, I could run the event remotely. I seriously could. I could run the event. I could be the one.
You could, but
stuff.
No.
All right.
And adjudicating?
Well, I mean, they could FaceTime.
Sure. Okay. Turn the camera around. Let me see the table.
Draw the line. It'll be like a vassal tournament.
Oh, God. Then the 15th, Rick has got a over in Pegasus Games. He's running a mega battle event.
Chat, if they could specify whose, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So, chat says maybe a microphone with the quiet. Probably not mine.
It's probably Dave because I shut him off last week.
Oh, okay.
It's a good thing Dave hasn't talked that much.
Yeah,
that is true. Thank you, chat.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that was my bad.
My bad.
But no, Rick's running a mega battle event that he's testing for the Game Hole Con for his event there. It's supposed to be like four tables worth of kind of like a Company of Iron mega battle. If you are in the Madison area or, you know, travel to it, check it out. I know he's looking for more players.
There's a big boat he's building. It looks really cool.
It looks like the boats from the original league, the Mark I War Machine League that was all water themed. That was the worst league ever because the scenarios were unbalanced as fuck.
What? What do you mean? I just had my Devil Core on one boat and just smashing the other boat. Because there were structures and they took like a crazy amount of damage.
The two boats passing each other was the most balanced, which is the depressing part. Because there was the one where somebody's boat started their deployment zone and it moved to the right like 2d6 inches every turn.
Wait, are you talking about the escalation campaign?
Maybe. It moved 2d6 inches to the right every turn. And so you had to get onto the boat and destroy like three masts and the steering column, like four structures before it got off the board. And it was like mathematically impossible. And so there was that one, and there was also, if you take the whole board and divide it diagonally and have one side be nothing but water, shallow water, but still shallow water, with a like 3-inch-wide bridge going from the center point to a 6-inch-round island that had a objective on there.
It was a lighthouse.
It was a lighthouse. So the people had to get to that lighthouse and destroy it by like the end of round three. It was just literally impossible.
Yeah.
Even if you had Pathfinder or Amphibious or something to get through it, like if you didn't, you literally couldn't get there.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But even if you did, then your opponent just like put a wave of infantry in your way and you stopped and killed them, and then they just put a second wave and you stopped and killed them, and then you lost. Yep. Or they played Denny One and just feeded and they're like, nope. Like it was so dumb. All of the scenarios were like that league.
Do you were part, I don't think you were part of it. There was a tournament that happened during Mark One down in the Chicago area.
I sure was part of that.
because they used those scenarios in tournament play.
Yep. Smiled politely, nodded, played the tournament, and then never went to that city again.
Yeah. It was an
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the tournament right when Pirate's Life had come out. Shay's Theme Force, rather. And so it was the one where Jim had the list that he already ran, and then they're just like, here, have 20 extra points for free. Why the fuck not?
It was just five.
It was five free solos. He got
five
like
free solos,
yeah. So it was just, here you go. Here's a list you're running anyway. Just because this was back when each caster had their own list, and so Jim had to like drop one solo to qualify, and then get like all of his solos for free and get a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah, he also got a free unit of pirates.
Right, and he was because he got that many points, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So he was playing against somebody who won the die roll, and against Shay in that theme force, that person chose to go second.
Wah, wah. Wait, is
what?
This Mark 1 Shay or Mark 2 Shay?
Two.
Okay, so he didn't get charged top of one.
He did not.
He just lost.
He merely never left. Like he, yes.
God, that mega battle Mark 1 where Nick and Jim were working together.
Oh man, that championship match it was Mo and I were a team, and we were the only person to not lose both casters top of one. We only lost one of our casters top of one. And then had no army in our surviving caster under Ashlyn's feet for our bottom of one. It was very bad.
I remember that because back then Lightning Tendrils for Kruger. My team was Kruger and the Butcher 2. So Lightning Tendrils didn't just add reach to a model, it just added +2 inches to their attack. So Butcher with Homicidal Maniac with a 4-inch swath.
Yep.
Oh god.
Spiraling through things. That actually is how we beat you, is because Inert Jax was a thing, and he killed a Jack, but it was still technically an enemy model, so it's just sitting there, and he just kept wailing on this little buccaneer or something, just like,
just staring intently at your caster, going, I'm coming for you.
Ah, Mark 1 Jax.
Because I forgot to cast Mage Blight. Yeah. Not Mage Blight, the no charging one. It gives stealth and no charge that Gorshade 1 has.
Had, but yeah.
Shadow, whatever. So I forgot to cast it, and because I didn't want you to charge me, and then because I didn't cast it, I'm like, fuck, I'm doomed, but you didn't need to charge anyway. You were just going to ping pong to me, but because I didn't cast it, I was camping an extra, like, five and survived.
Yeah, no, I never got to you because
no,
I couldn't get
it. You killed him. You got to me with, like, two attacks or something and got me down to, like, 4 hit points because I was camping all of my focus because I forgot to cast any spells.
God.
So being an idiot and the inert Jack rules saved me.
Fucking inert Jax. I just
body
Butcher.
Was a system.
Yeah, when you do like 10 total damage to a Warjack and it was just like, okay, I'm basically dead. I'm out of the game.
Yep, both arms fall off. I'm useless.
I'm a corpse that you can still shoot. Like that, yeah, like. So dumb.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Was it?
Well, no.
Oh, you know. Well, you know.
Felt like we had more players.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, that must have been, that event was Mark 1, yeah. But the one with the scenarios was Mark 2.
Yeah.
Have been because that's when the Mark 2 theme forces were all coming out. Because Mark 1, there was just the one theme force per faction, and that was only the core four factions had them.
Because Retribution got added, like, at the very last second.
And
like,
they didn't, I don't think they had a theme force.
They didn't.
I don't think so. They had only two casters at that time anyway, as well.
I guess they pseudo had theme forces because they got their Mark 1 and Mark 2 rules like at the same time, basically. And so their Mark 2 version had theme forces. It was just bizarre. It was a weird time to be alive.
God, we're reminiscing about old games, though, but I think probably one of my favorite games I ever watched machined was Jim versus... it was down at the Chicago Dice Dojo, I think it was, or one of the stores that ended up closing. But I think it was Terminus versus Shay, and he kept on cat and mousing him, and they ended up winning on scenario. It was amazing.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. Now my favorite terrible game like that was at the Wisconsin Team Championship a couple of years ago that I had a Thexus player on my team that we managed to pair into a Thexus player on the other team, and they the point that Keith, my other teammate, and I had won our game, as we went over to him, it's like, okay, and it's like, this game no longer matters, and the concession was instantaneous.
Because they're both miserable.
Neither of those players has played Thexus since then.
Yes.
I played a Mark 1 game once upon a time where we wiped each other's armies off, so it was just our two warcasters, and it was
Asphyxius won and Kane won. So we were just fucking teleporting around the whole table. Like, neither of us could do anything to the other one. It was just so pointless and stupid.
I played a Fiora 2 on Fiora 2 game.
Oh, good times.
That was bad.
Alex and I played a Fiora 2, game where I had a choir member charge his Fiora 2 and kill her.
Mm. Played Gorton v. Gorton, and we both just stared at each other from opposite side of linear obstacles. We both put up rock wall and hid behind it, staring at each other.
Oh, speaking about old bad scenarios, there was the bottomless pit scenario.
Yep.
They had it started in the center of the field, and it just slowly got larger, and any models that like more than 50% just fell into
it. Oh, as soon as it was touched.
You mean the Gorton instantly wins scenario?
Yeah. As soon as it touched you died. And if it touched a piece of terrain, you removed the entire terrain off the thing, so it would nick a forest, and the whole forest would just sucked into the bottomless pit, gone.
Yeah, I pulled a whole bunch of Troll Blood champions into that pit.
Yeah. Good time.
I said that reminds me of Chad's story from the Mark II Trolls field test when Befuddle was model unit.
Yep.
And Calandra's feat was reroll until you get a 3.
Yep.
Yep.
And then he took an entire
unit. Or higher, obviously.
Yeah, I don't remember what unit it was, but he took an entire unit, made it into a U, charged an Axe Errant, had it Thresher, and removed the entire unit with the 0 dice being rolled.
Yep.
Because if you're guaranteed a 6, everything just died.
Yep. Good times. War Machine was never completely broken or anything. It's a joke, it was. Yeah. Mark I got really stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Just because they put out Hordes print money, the book.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, not Metamorphosis. Was it Metamorphosis?
It was Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
That's where you got Urias Warchief. It's where you got the will of shooting 50 shots in your enemy deployment zone, top of one.
I remain convinced that that book was put out solely to make payroll.
We need money quick. I mean, or it was put out as positive press for Mark II.
Yeah,
they're like, let's ruin Mark I so people will be really excited about Mark II.
Well, I mean, that was the ham and cheese list at the end of Mark II as well.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck it.
It's like nobody cares. Oh,
the difference was the ham and cheese list did not allow anyone who wasn't doing 6-month pre-orders to spend money on it. Whereas Ryas and Vlad 2 were out for a while, and many copies of them were sold.
Yeah,
Ryas was fine, though. I mean, Ryas herself and... Sorry.
Ryas was fine. The Warchief.
Warchief was also fine. it was Ryas plus Warchief that was the most idiotic thing in the history of miniatures. Like, yowzers. I know that's hyperbole. You don't have to correct me.
Not by much.
Not by much.
I'm sure I have abused stuff in 40K.
I rank 8th edition demons and potentially 5th edition guard higher.
If you want an idea what Ryas Warchief was, it was beginning of Mark III, and that was Madrak.
But there was 2 of them, and losing them didn't matter because they weren't your warlock.
Correct.
So go ahead and play a Legion list and give yourself 2 Madraks from the beginning of Mark III.
Oh, my God.
It was so dumb. Just chewing through everything and then just one-shotting heavies after. Like, oh, my fucking God. And he had to miss, like, 5 times to stop it. And
I guess Madrak would be even more egregious, though, because he could buy more attacks.
Sure, sure. The point is relatively valid, though.
Yeah.
So dumb. I had something I was going to bring up, but I think it's a zappity grumble, so I won't bring it up. True story.
I did have making predictions about Game of Thrones tonight. Does anybody care about making any of those?
I predict that a significant portion of the viewers will not be happy with how things end, but a different proportion of viewers will be perfectly fine with it.
We said predictions.
That's my prediction. No. You can, if I predict that 1 + 1 will equal 2, it's still a prediction.
What about 1 × 1?
Oh, who are we asking?
Oh, my God.
Fucking A, that guy.
Oh, Terrence Howard. Oh.
Good old Terrence Howard. That's the second dumbest thing he's ever said.
What's the dumbest? The first thing
was, I want to be paid more than Robert Downey Jr. in this sequel.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you get replaced with a better actor anyway.
I was thinking that maybe they should basically CGI Don Cheadle into Iron Man 1.
Sure.
I mean, I think you could leave Terrence Howard for the drunk parts, though.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of CGIing a different actor into there, can I talk about Detective Pikachu for a minute?
Sure.
Can I talk spoilers about Detective Pikachu for a minute?
Sure.
It's been out 2 weeks.
Has it 2 weeks?
It's only been about 1 week.
Was it only 1 week?
It didn't come out 3 days ago. I thought it came out the previous week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was previous.
Yeah.
All right. You had your chance.
Right.
So I won't watch it, but I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's spoiled.
It does not seem like it's a deep movie.
I will reduce my spoiler somewhat, but still have a lesser spoiler. No, it's fine.
Matter.
The lesser spoiler
Look,
is all
you can
that
spoil
matters.
The entire movie, and it's still worth seeing because the highlight of it is just the comedy.
The lesser
reel.
Spoiler is that Ryan Reynolds is also in it physically, not just as a voice. He appears in the film as an actor. I still maintain that they could use
the Danny DeVito
voice and either keep live action Ryan Reynolds as well or CGI Danny DeVito over Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, I assume that Detective Pikachu isn't the only detective there. They could have easily just had a spot in there with a older disgruntled Pikachu that's voiced by Danny DeVito.
Sure. Sure.
he has his own private eye headquarters or something like that.
Well,
that
I mean, there are only two Pokemon in the movie that actually have spoken lines.
Right.
Oh.
The Detective Pikachu is unique in his ability to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah. But they could still have a Danny DeVito version. It would just, you know.
Or Detective Squirtle. That would be amazing.
Sure.
What
Pokemon would be best for Danny DeVito, unironically?
Maybe Bulbasaur or Squirtle. I think Squirtle is it. I think I hit it right on the head.
Really? You don't think he needs to be something more, like, isn't there, like, something more curmudgeonly? Like a grumpy, like a Psyduck with a headache kind of thing? Like, because Squirtles are adorable.
I can see Psyduck.
A Psyduck is more of...
Gilbert Gottfried?
Yes.
Nope.
Also, the Psyduck in Detective Pikachu was amazing.
Yeah, I did hear that there's an amazing Psyduck scene.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just read the entire plot summary because I knew that I wasn't going to bother to see it.
Oh.
And so, like, I'll watch it on, like, Netflix or something. But
I've got kids that are 5 and 7, so yeah.
There's grown adults I've seen it, so
yeah.
Great excuse, David, but
I mean,
not good enough.
It didn't hit me nostalgia-wise because I wasn't a huge Pokemon player when I was younger, and it didn't hit me parental-wise because my kids aren't young enough to be Pokemon players now.
Yeah.
So I missed the two main groups, but I am a film buff, and so I'm in message boards that discuss movies, and people started discussing Detective Pikachu and having spoilers, and I'm like, I want to talk, and I just clicked all the spoiler tags
it's worth seeing. Yeah. I won't say it's a great movie, but it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I mean, there are a couple of annoyances in it, like the reporter character is too horribly cliched. But other than that, I mean, it was an entertaining movie. The Psyduck was awesome.
I have heard that it is definitely a kid's movie, and if you are either A, a child now, or B, were a child and thus have the nostalgia tickle from loving Pokemon from when you were a kid, it is not particularly great, but not terrible either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the position I'm in, because I don't have the nostalgia tickle because I've never played more than 15 minutes of a Pokemon game.
Sure.
I mean, it was amusing. It was amusing. Ryan Reynolds was great in it. As I said, the Psyduck was awesome. There was one scene that I thought was absolutely hilarious, and somebody who knows Pokemon better than me is, what is the round pink Pokemon that sings and
Jigglypuff?
Jigglypuff.
Yeah, it's Jigglypuff.
Thank you.
I don't even have kids.
Yeah.
Well, you played Smash, so you'll know. Jigglypuff's so fucking broken in every Smash game. Yeah. It's wonderful.
There is this brief scene of a Jigglypuff singing karaoke, and everybody just slumped down around it. That's hilarious.
So no, when I was talking about Psyduck, that should be voiced by Randy Quaid.
Now that he's not in the Star Wars movies anymore?
Is he not in the Star Wars? What do you mean? What?
Well, because they killed off Han Solo.
Oh, no. That's Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's still alive.
Am I getting him backwards?
Yeah. And you're getting him backwards and switching a brother.
Oh, yeah. Randy Quaid is not Dennis Quaid. Oops. I was definitely thinking Dennis Quaid that whole time.
Can you imagine Randy Quaid?
Randy Quaid is Han Solo.
That would be... Oh, that needs to be a super mashup of some sort.
What I can imagine is Dennis Quaid as Han Solo and Randy Quaid as Chewbacca, just wearing like a Willard suit, or a Wilfred, rather, a Wilfred suit. Oh.
But no, I think he would work with a Squirtle, because you know, Squirtle is short and...
Randy Quaid?
No.
Chewbacca?
No.
That was Quaid.
Chewbacca no. Squirtle. Really, they should just all be voiced by Gilbert Gottfried. Still just shrieking their own names, but all in Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
I would you like know,
we probably
could arrange
for that on Cameo.
Yeah.
Bobcat. I want Bobcat in there too. Bobcat and yep. and Gilbert Gottfried.
No, Gilbert Gottfried would be the perfect Psyduck.
Gilbert Gottfried, Bob Scratch Goldfarb, those definitely they should voice everything.
Why did he get the Benedict Cumberbatch
That's actually a Bobcat Goldthwait joke. In several of his, like, he has referred to himself as Bob Scratch Goldfarb in various things.
Okay. I haven't seen him in such a long time, too.
Yeah, well, you know, he does a lot more behind the camera work stuff. He had the that God Bless America movie. He had the really shitty found footage Bigfoot movie. I forget what it's called, but spoilers, it has Bigfoot in it, and it's bad.
I see. I did think I saw the God Bless America, because that's got it's got an actor in it that I think is from Teen Wolf.
I'm sure it's got an actor in it. Yeah,
it does. It has several actors in it.
I think he's from Teen Wolf.
Speaking of being Team Wolf, because I know you said teen, but I heard team, and that made me think about Team Jacob versus Team Edward, because Team Jacob is Team Wolf. And remember, I'm going to magically stop aging so I can fuck that baby. Height of cinematic treasure.
Are we talking about Robert Pattinson?
We're talking about Robert Pattinson. Fuck the haters. I'm on board.
Sure.
Every previous Batman casting, people have been angry about it. And that includes not just every single Batman, but also shit like Heath Ledger as the Joker. Everybody gets up in arms, and they've all been great. Fuck you, except Jared Leto. Jared Leto was not good.
I don't consider Suicide Squad as being a...
And that's fine. Then it's 100% successful that every Batman casting choice has been good.
Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer was fine. Okay. That movie was fucked over by the editing and the authors. It helps a lot if you put in that deleted scene with Val Kilmer confronting the Batman persona in like this weird dream state. That was a really good scene. And without it, it gets rid of the gravitas of his character.
Yeah.
So and I don't blame him for that.
And it's also hard. It's also hard to. I don't know. I think it's hard to say that Clooney was a good choice, because you can't really tell, because the movie was so terrible.
Val Kilmer and Clooney, I give the same pass I give Batfleck, where it wasn't their fault.
Yeah,
they're fine in shitty movies.
I like Batfleck a lot. Yeah. I thought. Yeah. Other than his actions in the film, I liked his presence.
Yeah, that's the writer's fault.
Yeah, I blame the directors for Clooney and Val Kilmer's portrayals being bad. That's the director's fault. Mm-hmm. And I blame the writers/directors for Batfleck.
Yeah. And it goes by what we had talked about last week, of where you take a property that has...
2 weeks ago?
It was two weeks ago. It was last episode, I think, we
Time
talked
flies.
About it. Uh-huh. It was basically, you know, where you take a property that has, you know, a history behind it, and you decide to change it just to change it, to make it your own. And, you know, that's not what people really want. People want to see Batman. They don't want to see, like, a dark, gritty, murdering Batman. Something true to the character.
Correct. Unless you make it work. You know, with something like Dark Knight Returns, there's a reason for that. And they didn't justify it enough with Batfleck.
Oh, with Batman v Superman? Or what do you mean?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, when you take the original Dark Knight Returns, they justified his brutal, darker version than he had been by explaining, you know, that's what the history has weighed upon him and everything. They didn't put enough effort into the Batman portrayal in the new movies, and even then they wouldn't stick with it. Like in Batman v Superman, he's tattooing people with a mark of death. Like, he knows that this is getting those people killed, but then he's still a wacky, jokey guy with quips in Justice League because they didn't stick with their persona.
I mean, in Dark Knight Returns, Batman doesn't actually kill anybody, does he?
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, sorry.
Is the comic Frank book. Miller comic.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But he doesn't actually kill anybody, does he?
I argue that he murders the Joker because people can't snap their own necks like that, and I think Batman...
I mean, that was the bizarre thing when the Joker kills himself.
Yeah, I think Batman does Batman that and then just it. Blocks his own memory of how the event happens. Also, even without killing, man, he is... Even beyond Batman, like Batman would punch you and it would hurt Frank and maybe Miller, break your arm. But that Batman is like, you are paralyzed for life now, brutal, which is still a step up.
He drove his tank through all those.
Yeah, they did not survive.
Sons of Batman. He just,
He might not have purposely tried to kill people, but I don't think he was still putting effort into avoiding casualties.
Yeah,
he had a tank with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, a very big gun. Like, yeah. I don't think it's gonna happen, but the memes are out there and I am hopeful because it's the ages are correct where you could definitely do the Terry McGinnis Batman Beyond and have Michael Keaton as old retired Bruce Wayne.
Somebody needs to give us that.
Please do that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be part of the DCEU. Just give us fucking old man Batman with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, because I think Keaton, I would say, is still the second best Batman.
Hmm? Who? What?
I would not say Michael Keaton's the second best Batman. Wait, are you counting Kevin Conroy from the animated series?
No.
Okay.
Second best live action.
And he's not the second best live action Batman.
Who are your top three then?
I would say number one would be Michael Keaton. Okay. And number two would be Christian Bale.
Okay, I would switch those around.
I know, I was fucking with you.
So. No, that's pretty much mine too. I mean,
if Christian Bale had toned back his stupid voice, and it got worse every movie. It's like, calm down.
I have to show you a video once we're done with here from Rooster Teeth that has a very excellent Christian Bale quote in it. It's great.
Yeah, but no, Christian Bale is good. But Keaton, Christian Bale, and Kevin Conroy. There's the top three.
I would almost go Kevin Conroy is
I was out of order at that.
Higher than Christian Bale.
If Christian Bale could have done Kevin Conroy's voice, you know, instead of going stupid with it, he'd be number one. But that Batman voice is so dumb.
Yeah.
It modulated. I mean, it was supposed to be like that.
No, but I don't think he actually modulated it, though. I think he just ruined his own voice. Like, all over Wayne Mansion is just like bowls full of like secrets and balls.
Batman's greatest foe, laryngitis. Yeah.
Arthur Searle says Batman completely killed people in the comics in the beginning and snaps Joker's neck at one point going to jail.
Yes, that's true, but those were huge plot lines. Also, the beginning Batman was before they found the footing, right? Like, the first few issues, he shot people, and then they decided that they needed to differentiate him from people like the Shadow, and they took away the gun, and then for, like, 50 fucking years, he never killed somebody.
Yeah, I mean, in the first run, he had a Gatling gun that he was mowing down criminals with at some point.
He snapped a dude's neck
by, like, flying away. Like, he lassoed somebody in the neck, and he's like, well... Being dead is better than living on how he was, because it was like some like devolved like Solomon Grundy guy, so Batman just fucking kills him. But they pulled back from that, and then his main identity since then has been the nothing. Yeah. I mean, it is true. Literally every portrayal of Batman has killed people, so the Batman doesn't kill thing is a complete myth. But even as a myth, it's still important to believe it in a way.
Yeah, the guy that gets dynamite shoved down his pants by...
By Keaton.
I don't know. You know.
Well, the guy, he throws dynamite in his pants and then throws him off a cliff and then he explodes. He's fine.
Yeah, just fine.
The dynamite and the cliff canceled each other out. Like, two deaths make a
cliff. I don't think it was a cliff. That was just one of the street performers.
It wasn't
Batman
a cliff.
Too.
It was like off a bridge. It was like over a railing. Like, he throws him over a height. It's not a cliff like the Grand Canyon, but it was not over a cliff, over railing.
There's a lot of people dying in the Grand Canyon this year too.
People
what the
dumb.
Fuck?
Selfie sticks.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So my prediction.
I mean, is this a population culling thing now? Is it people using selfie?
Well, not necessarily with the sticks, but definitely there have been selfie deaths.
Yeah.
Because they turn around and they take the picture, they back up, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm, you know, rarely happy when someone died. But Adam West definitely killed people. Watch the Batman movie starring Adam West, and he murders an entire batch of rehydrated thugs because they smuggle a bunch of thugs into the Batcave as powder and then add water so that they're rehydrated back into their thug form because that's how science works.
Yeah.
And then when Batman punches them, they explode. Because they're unstable from the rehydration.
I'm going to stop at three.
Okay.
Okay.
It was the whole plot of that movie. It was dehydrating everyone. Because remember, they dehydrate the United Nations, and then they sneeze, and all the powder gets mixed up, so he has to separate the powder to make sure when he rehydrates people, they're rehydrated as themselves instead of some kind of... Okay. He does mix it up so they speak the wrong languages, because that's how science works.
No. That's like teriology.
Dude, if you have not seen the Adam West Batman film, it is legit one of the greatest movies you will ever see in your life. It is so, it's, no pun intended, batshit insane.
Some days it's really hard to get rid of a bomb.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yep.
He gets attacked by a shark.
Yeah.
And he decides, because he was attacked by a shark, he figures out that, you know, what villain is behind this, right? And he figures out that, like, the Penguin's involved because of whatever reason, and the Joker's involved, and the Riddler's involved. And he figures out that Catwoman's involved because it happened at sea. Sea for Catwoman. And he's right. Because he's the world's greatest detective, and that's how detecting works. He was attacked at sea for Catwoman.
Okay.
Oh, no, our slideshow.
But I'm surrounded by furniture that will break.
That's okay.
I was going to say, it looks like you're about to beat Nathan with an owlbear.
No.
I thought Andy was going to put the Batman movie on behind us. I got excited.
Well, if I never put it on YouTube, I could.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so dumb.
It's been years since I've seen it. I mean, long time since I saw that.
Well, speaking of owlbear, do we know what the Game Hole Con plushie is going to be this year?
I saw it. It's not a land. Last year, I think, was a land shark.
I was disappointed. I was disappointed last year because I love the owlbear, and literally my son's stuffed mimic is his favorite stuffed toy.
Yeah, I need to get a hold of all the plushies to put up here.
I thought it was like that noodly arm thing that's not a land shark but is a land shark, or is that what it was last
year?
And you're
was
just calling
year.
It a land shark. Okay.
Yeah, the bullet.
It's a boulet.
Boulet.
Yeah.
Creme brulee.
Was it an OTUG this year?
Yeah,
if only the sum of all human knowledge was in our hands. If only. If only.
So here's my prediction for Game of Thrones. I want to make sure
that's
I get
what
this
we're doing.
I want to get this out. We started on it, and then we just diverged into something.
My prediction is people will be that a lot of people will be pissed off and never watch another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I predict HBO will go bankrupt immediately.
So my belief is that many more people that everyone loves are going to die. And we're going to have Daenerys sitting on the throne.
There's too many of them left.
No, there's a lot of them left. I think Daenerys is going to be the one sitting on the throne at the end. I know that everybody is predicting that Arya is going to go ahead and kill her. No, I think Daenerys will.
I want some random schmuck. Just a random dude. All the named characters die, and then just like,
Bill?
Sir not appearing in this film, just walks up the stairs and sits down and says, fuck y'all, I'm in charge. Or Bronn.
I want one of those old school kung fu movies endings where it's literally one character is the only person left.
Sure.
You know, like some of those old Jackie Chan movies where every character, including the people with no names in the movie, has died except the one hero at the end.
They get straight up dunkles on it and have the dragon himself sit on the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
Have him reveal that he can speak, and then he rules.
Oh, it's a new, it's this thing.
It's a displacer beast.
Yeah, it's cute little displacer beast.
It's weird from the front. I would need to see it from behind. Yeah. So displacer beast is basically a cat with two tentacles on its shoulders.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, all right. I can accept a displacer beast.
I'm going to need a few of those.
They are an iconic D&D character.
I wish it had creature. The derp eyes, though, still. I like the derp eyes. Yes. If it was a displacer beast with derp eyes, I would be sold. But
well, make room 6 feet away from your shelf for the Displacer Beast Mini.
Well, I don't know what
this. See, because that's the rule in the game with Displacer Beast. Yeah.
I don't.
Why is that Displacer Beast swimming next to the boat? Why does the owlbear let him into the boat? That's fucking rude. He's making him swim. See, because that's the rules for Displacer Beast.
They're 2 feet from where they are.
Yeah, so that's...
Or wherever, yeah.
That picture would legit be great if the Displacer Beast was just hovering in midair 2 feet to the right of the boat. If somebody had a pet Displacer Beast and they're just petting nothingness and then there's just like purring 2 feet to the right.
Oh, that would be annoying to do it for like a D&D movie or something like that to have a... Like, why are they fucking up all the CGI? I don't understand.
I sure hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
It's like I remember seeing a thing like in the IMDb goofs for Terminator 2 where they talked about a goof where the T-1000 is piloting the helicopter behind the truck and he's reloading his gun and then he's piloting with a third hand and they're like, oh, I hope somebody got fired for that blunder. You can see the person's hand holding the steering wheel while Robert Pattinson, not Robert Pattinson, while
there's a fucking baby in that house.
Robert Patrick
is loading the gun.
It's like, you idiot. It's not like some key grip hiding in his crotch piloting a real helicopter. It's a fucking plot point, you moron. It's clever use of the character.
He's sparkly, though, too, technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Well, the memes with that Lego Batman sparkling have already begun.
It is.
Like, there was no time that wasn't going to happen.
It was glorious.
What's the actor? I cannot think of his name except for he's Gob.
BoJack.
He's also BoJack as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I cannot think of it's Will Arnett.
It is Will Arnett.
Okay. He should break up there in Batman because I enjoy his portrayal of Batman. I have not seen Lego Movie 2 yet, but
nobody did.
No,
no, nobody saw Lego Movie 2.
Well, that didn't do well. Like, did do well as in critics wise.
Like I'm sure it did okay, but it wasn't like the massive
as Lego Movie.
Yeah,
was.
I don't know. I mean, I literally Lego movies. Awesome. I literally only see movies if either my wife or my kids want to see it. And my wife loves Marvel films, and my kids are kids.
Does she like DC movies at all?
No. Oh. Well, we saw Wonder Woman. That was it.
Okay, you should take her to Brightburn. Tell her it's a Superman origin story.
Wow.
What is Brightburn?
It's a Superman origin story.
If
the baby comes from space and crashes on the farmland, and then Ma and Pa Middle America raised this superpowered child as their own.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then during grade school, he's bullied.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes you're bullied, and sometimes when you're bullied, you know, you bully back. And if you're able to crush buildings and shoot lasers from your highs, maybe you bully back a little harder than you need to.
Yeah. Brightburn looks...
It's
looks
Batman meets the Omen.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Or not Batman, I'm sorry. Superman meets the Omen. Good times.
Sharp class.
Oh, so I went and saw John Wick 3, and so the trailer for Brightburn was in front of it, and there's a spot in that trailer where someone's pulling a shard of glass out of their eye. And then in the first 10 minutes of John Wick 3, somebody gets a knife slowly pushed through their eye, and I'm like, Jesus, fuck, this was the wrong movie for me to see, because that stuff wigs me out.
They should have had the goofy scene from The Evil Dead right at the beginning there, too. Because isn't there somebody who gets something in their eye in that film, too?
And I think it's Zombie 2, where the girl's head is just pulled forward slowly into a splinter that goes through her eye. She's like hiding in a closet, and a zombie punches its hand through and pulls her. Just enough with the ocular trauma.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brightburn's just Superman meets the Omen.
Oh. You should, if you're
going to Game of Thrones talk is over. Thumbs it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we weren't spoiling anything.
Yeah,
no, we weren't spoiling anything.
Yeah, my prediction is it's now worth for me to watch it.
I guess we spoiled the fact that people you claimed are still alive as of two episodes from the end of the film.
Sure.
Or the series, sure, rather.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Arya, well, yeah. Is Arya still alive?
Yeah.
Is she, though?
I think so, yeah.
Some people say that that Arya's last scene in the penultimate episode was not a thing that an alive person does. They were saying it's more like the ending of like
Gladiator.
Gladiator, yeah.
Was that
what I was trying to get to. Yes.
Okay, good.
Some people were saying that was Arya in the afterlife because, you know,
For as cheesy of a movie as Gladiator is, I really do like it. I like that film.
It may be cheesy,
but it's done well.
Yeah. It's well executed cheesy.
I wouldn't even call it cheesy. There were a couple of moments of melodrama in it, but but I mean, it was a reasonable movie.
And you got that guy being angry about his queer giraffes.
It's one of my favorite films that uses CGI for good, because that like all the backdrop scenes in there are all CGI. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how that will look now, if it will still pass for me.
It's fine because it's subtle. And it's like you said, it's background, so they could fuzz it a bit, and it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like it's episode one CGI where it's right in your face, and the movie does not work without it.
It didn't work when I saw episode one for Phantom Menace.
Sure,
because everything was so fucking clean. I understand it's all coming from a planet that's super rich, so they would have clean spaceships. But fucking A, come on.
And as it turns out, if you're allowed to have like a distance blur or something on CGI, it looks indistinguishable from real once you can blur it a little bit.
So the best use of CGI ever is the Doctor's eyes when he glances at the camera for a single frame in Pan's Labyrinth, and fixing his eyes so he doesn't do that. That's an example of a great use of CGI.
Never seen Pan's Labyrinth.
You should see Pan's Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. It's a masterpiece. But there's a scene where someone's walked past the camera and they glanced at the camera, and so they CGI'd his eyes to keep looking forward. That's great. But my only two issues... I have three issues with Gladiator. One, I think the ending's a happy ending, and I don't think it's an earned happy ending. If you're going to have somebody sacrifice their life, they should not be rewarded for it. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. It's just, he's like, I will beat the villain by giving myself a ticket to Disneyland. Like, that's not a sacrifice. That's win-win. But fine. People wanted a happy ending, so they got it. I think choke that down.
I think every religion on Earth would like to talk to you about that.
I'm aware of that fact, but they're not. If you then show them in the afterlife getting infinite blowjobs and cake, I don't feel like they sacrificed anything by dying.
All right, so we'll add this to the list of movies that need a 30-second razor blade.
Yep. Vagina, whatever. So the other two are just fully persnickety nitpick pedantry, which is two things that always piss me off in movies based on gladiatorial arenas in Rome. Number one, this isn't Let Him Live and this isn't Let Him Die. This is Let Him Live and this is Let Him Die, because this is drop your weapon. This is put your weapon into their chest because you're demonstrating their weapon level. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. I get that that's too complicated for the masses. Thumbs up good, thumbs down bad. I'll choke that one back. But number two, gladiators are fucking expensive, okay? 99% of the time, they survived those fights.
Because they were
rigged. And they were treated like kings.
Yeah. They were treated well. Like, yeah. I mean, you put a lot of money into training these people and buying them in the first place. You didn't want them to die every single time.
No, this was the Roman Empire WWE. I mean, I remembered like 30 years ago when the people were just, the economists were looking at it and saying, you know, this had to have been fake because economically it didn't make sense. Correct. And then they started finding rosters and like the thorough documentation of the expenses for the gladiators.
They lived. They were celebrities. They had merchandise that people bought, both based on them and from them. Like the really successful ones, their sweat people would buy as aphrodisiac. That was the word I was for. Yeah, they wouldn't kill them. It's like if after every single NFL game, the losing team was just executed. Yeah. That's not how shit would work.
I mean. Okay.
Well,
Brady must die. But
that may be what the XFL is.
Sure. But it's just so, like, I have a few of them, right? Or, like, have the gladiators fight against some untrained slaves as a spectacle for one of the fights, and those four untrained slaves die. Mm-hmm. But having every gladiator always fight to the death every single time, it's just so dumb. And I'm always hopeful that they won't do it, and they never don't.
Well, it's like, well, I mean, I'm sure that the feeding, they didn't feed gladiators to lions. They fed untrained slaves.
Right, that was executions.
Correct.
You know.
No. Yeah. Not, it wasn't, yeah. No.
Yeah. It's just never done correctly, and it always infuriates me. Especially because that one is so much easier to do right than the thumbs up, thumbs down. I get that would confuse people. It's like if you made a movie set in like ancient Greece and you had somebody put on a performance and then the audience all applauded.
Yeah.
Nobody would understand that audience hated the performance and want this guy fired. Because nobody sure. remembers that applause was originally the concept of booing because you were just making noise to chase them off stage. I get that.
Yeah.
But let the
but the thing is though, wouldn't it be really cool though to basically indulge the people who do know that?
I would love that. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I just understand that they're scared to do so.
Because that was like something that like Tarantino did in The Inglourious Basterds when they showed somebody, instead of, you know, usually Americans in that show three. Yeah. When they go like this for three, nobody,
right.
At least I didn't know that. I was sitting with Jim watching that film. He hated the film anyway, but yeah. That was three.
The issue would be is that you have a Watson. Right, you have someone that doesn't understand that, and it's explained to them, so then the audience understands.
Sure.
If you did
sure.
a movie based in ancient Greece, and someone's performing, and the audience all starts clapping to chase them off stage because they're terrible, you would need someone who is born and raised and always lived in a culture where that's what that means to randomly sure. explain out loud that that's what they're doing,
okay, yeah,
and that's always really dumb. Bad. Yeah. So it might work if you had like a king and kid in King Arthur's court or a Connecticut Yankee situation where you have like a time traveler who's like, "Well, I thought a prodigy is good," and then they explain it. But otherwise,
or like a Princess Bride type thing, yeah. where
or,
you know,
oh yeah, sure, somebody could be reading the story, yeah. or just fuck your audience, right? The guy does this, and then they don't kill the person. You figure out that means don't kill him,
yeah,
or you're too stupid to deserve to know.
This movie sucked because you went thumbs down. You're supposed to.
You would just have to have a couple of before the dramatic one. Just have a couple of cases where the guy holds his thumb out and they yeah. kill, and then holds his thumb down. And they mm-hmm. immediately drop the weapon.
Yeah, that sounds like a great montage.
Yeah, you have to.
But that's going to be confusing. That's also like Transformers the movie when the Quintessons got them to give them saying they're innocent,
and then they drop them into the pool. Not guilty, murder. I think the Quintessons just, wow, that did not come out correctly. But I think they just didn't understand the concept of a trial. They just know you were supposed to say something and then kill them.
No, they always said that they were innocent,
yep,
and then
they
kill
them.
Yeah. They never said not guilty, though.
Yeah.
Quintessons.
Yeah. I backed that Kickstarter as well, redundantly.
Oh, the Cybertronic Spree?
Yeah, Cybertronic Spree has a Kickstarter to do a studio re-record of the entire Transformers soundtrack. So you don't have to watch their YouTube live performances with mediocre audio quality anymore once the Kickstarter finishes. And it's one of those Kickstarters that's a glorified pre-order because literally the day after the Kickstarter ends, everybody will get their digital copy of the album.
August 9th.
Was it August?
Is when the digital comes out. But they probably already have it recorded.
Right.
And it's just going to go through the chains.
Like, but they probably took out loans to pay for the recording studio, and now we're paying their loans off as opposed to them waiting to have the money to then pay for the recording studio.
They're doing pretty well. They're actually starting to come around to the States more, closer to our area. I really want to go see them. Every video I've seen of them live has actually been pretty solid for even sound quality. Their live stuff has been good. If you don't know, they just do basically 80s sounding songs and 80s sounding themes. Kung Fury 2 is being made. I'm not sure if we needed a Kung Fury 2.
I was going to say why.
I mean, well, because they didn't rip off every joke from Danger 5, so they needed to make another Kung Fury to just pick up those last few.
Did Danger 5 have Triceratops? I mean...
All right, so half of Kung Fury they took from Danger 5, and half of Kung Fury they took from Axe Cop.
Yeah.
Kung Fury is just the illegitimate love child of Danger 5 and Axe Cop.
Yeah, I mean, but at least it's beautifully done in that style. I like the attention that they made for that film.
It's fun. It is what it is. I'm just a grumpy piece of garbage.
It is also the perfect length. Because that movie, if Kung Fury was an hour and a half long, I would take the shotgun retirement.
Yeah.
Sad. Oh, that's really painful, that parody, to go that long.
Good times.
Yep. Do we have anything else?
Well, we have Zappity Grumbles.
We do.
And we have recommendations.
Shit.
And we have Andy and I went and saw Big Trouble Little China on the big screen. And everybody who went got a free souvenir glass and a souvenir sticker and stuff like that.
Yep.
But instead of handing those to you as you entered the theater or handing them to you as you left the theater, they were all on the tables at each individual seat because it was a Bruin view, so everybody had their own thing. So Andy and I got six of those. because it wasn't sold out and they were just sitting there. So I went to the bathroom and just grabbed two, and then we left and I just grabbed two more.
No, we got seven. Because I got three.
You got a third?
Yeah,
then
I got three.
We got seven.
I was holding two in one hand and one in the other hand. And as we were walking out, I was like this.
I bet the one you took was, I looked to my left and there was one. And to my right, there was two. And I went and got the two. And then I came back and the one was gone. And I was kind of angry that I didn't get that one. So I'm glad to hear that you did.
Yeah. No, so I got three. So good. I forgot to bring those down. They should be on the table too. Mm-hmm. It was a better film quality than when we went to see Transformers the movie redone in the theater.
And the audience participate, you know, audience reaction is always great. You know, you have these jokes that you know are jokes, but like even when you watch a movie that you like at home, you don't oftentimes like laugh out loud at the jokes because when you're alone, for some reason, it doesn't strike you as much. But when you're in a group, it just builds, and everybody was laughing at all the jokes. It was great. Also, I was happy we were leaving, and there were some people behind us, and one person was like, is it as good as you remembered it? And the other person said, I'd never seen it before. And I was very happy that I was there for someone's chair to be popped.
Yeah. Oh, man.
One of my top three films that stars Kurt Russell and is directed by John Carpenter.
I was going to make an Escape from L.A. joke, but it's not.
That is the fifth best one.
Yeah.
I thought we figured out a way of making it the sixth.
Were there six? Well, because I thought that there counted was the one, Elvis.
No, it didn't. I think that was what we were debating.
Because there was Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York, Escape from L.A., and Elvis.
I thought we found a sixth one.
Maybe.
That we were happy because it shoved Escape from L.A. down to sixth.
So it wasn't top five, yeah. Damn. I know that the Ghosts of Mars was going to be a Snake Plissken film, but Escape from L.A. did so badly that they recast that character and changed its name.
Topeka Slipson or something.
It's like, yeah, it's like fake Blisken or something very stupid. No, there's just the five.
Okay.
Oh. I'm going to see what the Ghost of Mars character's name was.
Nathan and I were talking about Big Trouble in China. I think that the new one that's coming out soon, that should start off exactly the same way as the previous one. It was basically with Egg Shen, just even use the exact same footage of Egg Shen talking about magic and that, and then just cut to whatever's happening in the new Big Trouble in China.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to shoot new footage of Egg Shen.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Well, maybe you could.
Just
have a CGI Egg Shen.
He was a delayed victim of 9/11 attacks.
What?
He was super old and feeble. He was like a 90-year-old man, and he wasn't in very good health. And then the 9/11 attacks happened, and he was so stressed out, he stayed up all night, like watching the news reports and everything, and then had like a heart attack the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yep.
That's...
Desolation Williams was the Ice Cube character from Ghosts of Mars.
God, I don't remember that movie either.
Nobody does. Like, I forgot it existed until like last week when I saw a Thing talking about how bad it was and trying to explain why. And
that was like one of the John Carpenter's like last films for a long time. Is it?
There's probably a reason for that.
It literally was his last film. He retired from filmmaking after that movie.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I thought I remembered that, but I thought maybe he actually did some directing since then.
No, he focuses on his compositions.
Which are amazing. Listening to the watching Big Trouble in Little China and hearing his music, it's awesome. I love his music. He didn't do anything for the new Halloween at all?
I mean, they reused... He didn't direct or anything. No, I don't think so. I can double check, but I'm 99% sure he's done nothing film-related as far as directorial since Ghosts of Mars because it was so badly received. And the studio fucked with it so much, you know, the standard producer things, that he just decided he was done. But I'll pull it up.
I'm working on him right now.
It's a race. It's a race. 21% on Rotten Tomatoes seems about right.
Looks like he's done videos recently. I did The Ward in 2010.
Oh, you're right. He came back and did that, and it was very mediocre, and then after that, yeah, there was a huge gap between Ghost of Mars and that.
And he's done some, like, videos, looks like, for John Carpenter Christine. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's 4 minutes short.
Oh.
He was an executive producer on the new Halloween.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, because it's his baby. With Dan and I, when we were driving back from the Guild Ball tournament yesterday, we were going over some movies and that, like, movies that had a really long time before the sequel was made of how good the quality was.
I think these aren't shorts he directed. I think they're, like, sections from movies. So he directed Christine in, like, 1980-something. And so I think that this maybe just was, like, something that had, like, a clip from it. That's why you'll also see in 2016 they have John Carpenter : Escape from New York as something he directed. So I think it might just be, like, they had to credit him if they reused footage or something like that. But, yeah, The Ward did not go well. And Ghost Mart did not go well. Escape from L.A. did not go well. He had some troubles. But when he's good, he's really good.
The 90s were not kind.
No, nor the 2000s.
We're all just looking at our phones right now. No, but it's the Christine girl. It must have been something else because the Christine girl, or the John Carpenter Christine, is using a girl that's now... That's not from back then.
I got nothing. I don't know what it is. IMDb is weird and difficult to read sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure our listeners are fascinated.
Yeah, no, but we were talking about movies with sequels that that came out, you know, like 20 years after the original.
Were we?
No. Sure. Andy and I were yesterday when we were driving.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, did I black out for a while?
you kind of did because I didn't explain it.
A phrase did occur at one point of, we need Nathan for this.
Sure.
Yeah, so can you name any films that have actually been good that waited 20 years for a sequel or a long time for a sequel? Like 10 plus years probably.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I thought people liked the new Blade Runner, which was a sequel to the original.
That was one of them. That
sure
we had Mad a Max, giant list.
Fury Road.
That requires really count that. Yeah, I'd say that one requires direct sequel. Yeah, and that was one of the things we did go through. Like, we found a list of movies like this, and they brought up things like Force Awakens versus regular Star Wars. But that's not really a sequel. That's a new story that shares some characters.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to have to go with that's a sequel because it's a numbered movie in the same series. And if you can't call that a sequel, it's harder because that is literally episode 7.
Sure, the people from episodes 4, 5, and 6 are not the main characters in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I can see splitting 4, 5, 6 is a series, 1, 2, 3 is a series, and 7, 8, 9 is a series that just they combine together. So I can see not counting it. I understand your point.
Yeah,
it's a gray line.
Yeah, it's a gray line, but. Let's see. So I found a list of 11 movies with insanely long gaps between sequels.
I have 17 movies.
So we have The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday. It's 1999 versus 2013. None of those saw that because they are not.
Never heard of either of those.
We are not their target audience for melanin-related reasons. Escape from New York, Escape from L.A. Escape from L.A. was garbage. Godfather 2, Godfather 3. Godfather 3 was garbage.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Godfather 3 was that long after Godfather 2.
They have a joke one on here. I don't know why they joked, but they said Indiana Jones Last Crusade, and then they made up some fake one that came afterwards.
Which was still garbage.
If it existed, I'm sure it would have been garbage. Oh, I'll go with this one. Psycho, 1960, and Psycho 2, 1983. So 23-year gap, and Psycho 2 is actually a shockingly good movie. It gets short shrift, but it... It's not bad.
It's not Psycho 3.
It is not, which is... Psycho 3 has its issues, and Psycho 4 is just bad. But Psycho 2, I think, is pretty solid. It's one of those sequels that's different from the original in a way that I could see could annoy some people, but I think it's a really good film. Did any of you see the new Wall Street? That's a 23-year gap.
Oh, with Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
The second, well,
yeah, I did not see
that's,
that.
That's
new
not
one.
On this list either. The one I have.
Oh, I didn't know this one was a sequel. The Color of Money, 1986, is a sequel to The Hustler, 1961. Yeah. And Color of Money is a phenomenal movie.
That's not on this list either. Holy shit! Yeah.
Tron, Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy is my favorite Daft Punk music video. It's not a particularly good movie.
I've never seen Tron Legacy.
Better than Interstellar 5555?
Man, Olivia Wilde, or Olivia, yeah.
Munn?
No, it's Olivia Wilde. Oh. She is...
What's with all the Olivias?
The de-aging of what's-his-face in Tron Legacy is not good. It's amazing how far they came from 2010 to 2018 when they de-aged Samuel L. Jackson in Captain Punchy Fists.
In Ant-Man.
Who got de-aged in Ant-Man?
We just talked about
In-game. In-game, well, too.
No. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Michael Douglas.
In the first Ant-Man. Yeah, he was all right in that.
Yeah, because...
He was de-aged in In-game, too.
The Jeff Daniels de-aging in... Or Jeff Bridges, rather.
Jeff Daniels.
The Jeff Bridges de-aging in Tron Legacy is really bad.
Can you imagine him as Harry in Tron? That would be amazing.
Maltese Falcon apparently had a sequel in 1975 called The Black Bird, which I have never heard of, and I am guessing that it is not good.
Yeah.
The snippet here includes the phrase, despite its flaws. Yeah. Ooh.
Your list is completely different than ours.
I'm going to disagree with this one. As far as what one they pick, but it's going to make me pick an actual one. They have The Wizard of Oz 1939 and Journey Back to Oz 1974, which was an animated sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Return to Oz is actually a good movie, but it doesn't have... Is it a direct sequel? Because that character isn't Dorothy.
I don't think I've ever seen...
Return to Oz is scary as shit.
Yeah, because I was a kid when it came out, and it was.
I don't think I've seen it. I may have, but I just
creepy
don't
ass robot.
Creepy ass, lots of stuff.
Yeah,
yep. And then some Peter Pan direct to video, and those never count. Those are always terrible. But Return to Oz, I would go with Color of Money. I would go with Tron Legacy. Isn't bad. It's not particularly good, but it's not terrible. Psycho 2 is my go-to as the best on that list.
So if we have a completely different list.
Hooray! Right.
Which is kind of awesome. Oh, go ahead.
What's your list?
So, Toy Story 3. These are with at least 11 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. All right.
Terminator 3.
I don't hate that movie.
Yeah.
I like it, too. I like the practical effects in it.
The ending. Fuck you, says Terminator 3. Eat a dick, Terminator 2.
The ending is great. I love the
Sergeant Candy.
I love the chase sequence with the giant crane.
Yes.
Is easily...
And the hostage negotiator.
The biggest problem Terminator 3 had is that it was a sequel to Terminator 2,
correct,
which is one of the top science fiction movies.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is like one of the greatest popcorn flicks of all time.
Yeah.
And so nothing was going to compare to it. And Terminator 3 is not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. How dare you follow a James Cameron film?
Yeah.
Terminator 3, Alien 3. Fuckers.
Oh man, I so look forward to not seeing any Avatar movies. I'm enjoying the fact that every alternate year I'll get to not go to an Avatar movie.
So that was 12 years. This is the one that I think is the top one out of this list. Clerks 2.
Return to Oz is Dorothy, and it is a direct sequel. Okay, it's been a while since I saw that one, so I was shady on that. So thank you, Jim, in the chat. What one did you say? I'm sorry.
I think this is the best, though. It's Clerks 2. I love Clerks 2. I love it almost more than Clerks 1, but I understand that you kind of need Clerks 1 for Clerks 2. It's just basically Clerks 1 with a bigger budget.
That is true. That is true. For better or for worse, it's basically just Clerks 1 with a bigger budget.
Come on, it's just for dealing with Elias in that film is so great. The One Ring. Live Free and Die Hard. No, Live Free and Die Hard's the good one.
No. No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
Die Hard with a Vengeance is the last good one.
Yeah. No, Live Free Die Hard is that's the one that came after Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's the one that came after that I can't remember the Die Hard acronym for it.
Sure, it's a good day to Die Hard, I think
it
was called.
Yeah,
or just Die Hard 5 because they ran out of stuff. But
you don't like Timothy Oliphant as the cyber criminal and... Did you watch the unrated version?
I shouldn't have to, but
because the unrated version is basically Die Hard. When they cleaned it up for, and that's another issue with fucking
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yeah, that's the other thing with big business interfering with their fucking movies. You had a 3-movie series with just John McClane being John McClane being awesome, and then, no, we had to put out a PG-13 John McClane, and that's no.
All right, so, you know, Die Hard, I guess.
Finding Dory?
No.
You know, like Finding Dory?
Never seen it.
The only thing I don't like about it is, like, Finding Nemo is set in a world that feels realistic. It feels like this could happen with Finding Nemo in our world. Finding Dory has got a fucking octopus driving a van.
Correct.
with a bunch of other things.
Right. Yep. And that's it's the same reason why I'm not a big fan of the Cars movies, is because they don't feel like they take place in a real world, which to me is a critical part of the Pixar films.
Yeah.
Also, excuse me. That's a whale shark, not a whale. So how come Dory talks to it in whale speak? Huge plot hole.
How does she remember? Learn? Oh my god, baby. Also, Baby Dory is the reason to watch.
Baby Dory is adorable, and it's got a heartbreaking scene with all the stones to the house and blah blah blah. It's not bad. Oh. It's not bad, but it is worse than Finding Nemo.
Correct. Yeah. It would be a solid B+ film.
Speaking of which,
Jurassic World.
Oh, which God. So bad. No,
it's
do
palatable.
Not defend. No,
it's
it is
palatable.
Not. Jurassic World is so fucking
Jurassic
bad.
World's biggest offense to our world is that it brought us Jurassic World 2.
Jurassic World 2 is way worse than Jurassic World. Jurassic World is not good.
It's
like I will guilty pleasure watch Jurassic Park 2 and Jurassic Park 3, but Jurassic World is just not worth watching. There's no reason to ever watch it again.
If they would add the Nokia phone sequence from Jurassic sure. Park 3 into Jurassic World, it would be amazing.
Because my issue is,
it's a lot of callbacks.
There's
for
many
nothing.
Issues.
Jurassic Park 1 and 2, and way to a lesser extent, but I'll still say 3, were dinosaur movies mm-hmm. about dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and Jurassic Worlds are monster movies about monsters. And those are a big difference. Like, Jurassic Park has that scene with Grant in the tree with the kids looking at the majesty of these dinosaurs and understanding that they're beautiful creatures. And it has that love and reverence for them. And Jurassic World is just, booga, 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 monster's gonna get ya. And that's, fuck you.
There's some really fucking egregiously awesome sequences in Jurassic World, though. Yeah. That poor fucking nanny.
That poor nanny.
just gets trucked off by a pterodactyl. They're like, oh, that sucks. And then gets eaten by a giant crocodile.
Maybe look for the tracking chip before you open the door to the giant thing's thing and then drive 20 miles away. Like, why does it have a special power every scene that it never uses again just so it can have it that scene?
Yeah, it's got camouflage. No. Incredibles
why,
2.
David, why? Incredibles 2 is all right.
And that is like 14 years.
Incredibles 2 is all right. Yeah.
Time. Escape from L.A. is listed in here.
Nope.
That was 15 years.
Nope.
Godfather Part 3.
Nope.
Actually, oh man, I forgot this was on here. Rocky Balboa.
Oh.
Is a really good film for a sequel.
It is. And it's definitely not the worst Rocky movie.
I rank it as the second best. Rocky is really good. Rocky 2 is really good, but I rank it right after Rocky. Rocky Balboa is just fucking amazing. Wait,
I'm confused. If you rank it after Rocky, then you're putting it like the third best?
No.
Because there's Rocky 4.
No, there's
Rocky 4, no. Which single-handedly ended the Cold War and introduced the concept of AI to the modern nomenclature.
Sure.
So there's Rocky 4, the pinnacle of human achievement in the arts, and then Rocky, and then Rocky Balboa, so that puts it third. Or is it not fair to the others to compare them to Rocky IV, so you're taking it off? It's like trying to find the strongest man in the world, but if literally Hercules lived, you can't count him because it's not
fair. The mountain is already there, so we can't, right. Yeah.
Sure, okay. Yeah. So we don't count Rocky IV because it's not fair to the others to
correct.
Compare him to this.
Yes.
Okay, then I'll give you that.
Also, yeah, Rocky IV does have the best montage sequence ever.
He single-handedly ends the Cold War by punching.
But Rocky Balboa is amazing. Basically, it's two Stallone films almost in a row. Rocky Balboa and Rambo.
that's scientifically accurate. That's exactly what would happen. The director's commentary track on Rocky on Rambo is glorious. The director's commentary track is amazing because like there's a scene where he's just shooting a guy point blank with a 50 caliber, yeah, and the guy's just vaporizing it. And Stallone's just like, "That's scientifically accurate. That's exactly what would happen."
I've never listened to the commentary track. Holy shit, I have to do this.
That's exactly what would happen. Scientifically accurate.
Have you seen Rocky? Or not Rocky, but Rambo, Dave?
Not since I was a kid.
No, the new one. The new Rambo. Like a decade
it's
ago.
Technically Rambo 4. I have not seen.
Isn't it? It's just First Rambo. Blood 4 Rambo 3?
No, it's just Rambo.
No, but you said it's technically Rambo 4.
Yes.
So it's First Blood 4 Rambo 3.
Yes.
Because Rambo is First Blood 2.
Yes.
It's billed as First Blood Part 2.
Right. So there's First Blood, then there's Rambo, then there's
It's First Blood.
It's First Blood, then it's,
and then Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, it's First Blood, then Rambo First Blood Part 2, then Rambo 3, then Rambo.
Yeah. It is a fucked up numbering sequence.
It's like the Predator movies.
Predator
2, Predators, The Predator.
Correct.
It's like when a band puts out like 5 or 6 albums and then releases an eponymous album. It's like no. This is you're breaking expectations.
Like Led Zeppelin.
Well, it's
1, 2, 3, and then the untitled one. Fuck you.
Well,
it's like you start out with the eponymous album or you're missing the point. Come on.
I always said if I was talented and was in a band that was good and was like the next Beatles or Led Zeppelin or whatever, we would always have the same album name and just change the name of our band every album just to get in different spots of the record store.
I thought of that, or similar things, if I had a band like that, I would just change the name of the band every time.
The other thing I would possibly do instead would be to name the band Many More so that we were legally obligated to be on every compilation CD that they sold on television. Because they're advertising that they include
Many More.
Right. And so if they don't have at least one song by us, lawsuit time.
Kind of like free beer.
Yeah.
That's how you get good audiences at bars.
Yeah. Just name your band Free Beer.
Yep.
That's almost literally the logic Bare Naked Ladies had when they named their band.
Yeah.
They said, this is something you see on a marquee. You will go into that show.
Yep. I just thought about it, too. It's kind of weird how movies... and their sequels have caused the original movies to be changed. It's like Indiana Jones. It's like it was Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now it's basically referred to as Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
New Hope, of course, is the quintessential example.
Yeah. Next one was Indiana Jones and crystal skull thing.
And the shark dinosaur, Jim, is called the Mosasaur.
So that shit movie that we...
Yeah, I don't need to hear about the IMDb ratings Crystal Skull.
No, it's
there is no just loving God.
It came out 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And Rambo is that one is 20 years. You should watch Rambo. It's
cheese.
Glorious.
Yeah.
It's glorious in the amount of violence and death in it.
Is that the one that set the record for like most on-screen deaths for a while?
I'm not sure.
No, Commando is, I think, still very close to that.
The Commando drinking game.
But it's...
Isn't it just called Wake Up in the Hospital with your stomach pumped?
No, it's beautiful, because the thing about Commando is that for the first hour and 15 minutes, he kills two people. Two! Sure. Two people!
Like drops one person off
and
the
and then
side
breaks
of
the guy's
club?
Neck in the airplane.
Yeah, sure. like I said, two people. Yeah, you do nothing for an hour, then you wake up in the hospital with your stomach pumped.
It's so beautiful! Because you trick people. They're like, oh, I thought there was a lot more killing. And then that scene starts, and then they die.
This sounds like the game where you drink every time they say Spartans in 300.
Yeah.
Like, it was great, but I don't remember the second half of the movie.
I would
recommend watching it that way.
It's the only way I would watch 300 again. Or I would watch 300 Eyes of an Empire, where you drink every time you go, wait, what?
That you'd be done at 15 minutes in.
Wait, what? It's fucking, what?
I feel
she's
like
the villain? What?
The poor person that was just...
What? No, yeah.
Yeah.
They rode the whole way there? A horse? What?
they made them rode? Yeah. The whole way there and then dropped their fucking sails?
Wait,
what?
She was narrating the movie? What?
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely need to see Rambo. Next movie that was on here is Dumb and Dumber 2.
You mean Dumb and Dumberer?
No, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Dumb and Dumberer was a prequel.
It was a prequel to Dumb and Dumber.
I didn't see Dumb and Dumber 2.
You didn't see Dumb and Dumber 2?
I did not.
It's the same Dumb movie. And Dumber. I was talking to Dan about it. Dan doesn't like the Dumb and Dumber films. So
so it's like 3 hours of torture because I do not like the premise. So whether or not it's well executed, it's awful.
Sure. Man, the first one. So good.
First one's good. I really like Dumb and Dumber. It's about the only good film with, what's his name, that was in the Crystal Skull thingy.
What?
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf, yeah. Dumb and Dumber is got Shia LaBeouf in it.
He's fine.
He's actually perfect in the film.
He's perfectly fine. He wasn't the problem with Crystal Meth.
No, he actually wasn't. In fact, I actually would have liked to see a film with him as...
Shia LaBeouf gets hate he doesn't deserve. Correct. He really does.
I agree with that.
I still do not understand why the internet hates him.
Because Crystal Skull was bad, and the Transformers movies, he starred in them, and you always have to hate the lead in movies.
That's not his fault at all, either.
Yeah. Well, because anytime he's on screen, it means Optimus Prime isn't, or you know what I mean? Like, they're focusing on him instead of the big robots, and so he becomes this whipping boy. But I don't hate him for that. I hate his parents for that. Like, if you're going to pick the characters that get too much fucking screen time in those movies, I don't need an hour of his mom eating a pot brownie. It's not funny. Move along.
Tron Legacy.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We saw that. The Force Awakens.
Talked about that.
Technically, that's 32 years. 2049, Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Force Awakens is not.
You can't even if you count it, you can't say 32 years because other films had come out. Like
You still had 1, 2, and 3, and you still had...
No.
Rogue came out after Force correct. Awakens. Okay.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf did get kind of weird in real life, but I was okay with that, too.
He's an actor.
Yeah.
He's from Hollywood. He's fine.
Mm-hmm. When he's on the red carpet with like a paper bag on its head, you do you, boo.
Halloween. And I wouldn't consider that a free...
it is a direct sequel. It is a
direct sequel, but...
But even not... Like, I'm sure they put like 40 years or some absurd
they
number
put 40
on there.
Years. Yep.
There was still a gap. Like, the last Halloween film before this Halloween came out was over a decade ago.
It was 2000, because that was... Well, no, that was...
It was called Halloween 2000,
yeah.
But there were ones after that. I think it was, like, 2005 or 2006, but it was still over a decade ago that the most recent one came out, not counting this one. So, and that movie's fucking great.
Yeah, I've heard about it. And that was the list there, so...
But, I mean, if you're counting Halloween as a direct sequel, doesn't that also mean Shin Godzilla is, like, 60 years...
Half of the Godzilla movies are direct sequels, and you are right. Shin Godzilla, and if you don't count the American series, man, how long was it between the last of the Millennium series and Shin Godzilla? I don't know if it was double-digit years. I'd have to check, but...
How far apart were Highlander 2 and 3?
Not long enough.
I mean, obviously, yes, but...
I don't think it was very long, because Highlander 3 was, I think... I'm gonna test my math here. I want to say it was 1993.
Three was a few years after that.
It was either 92 or 93 is when Highlander 3 came out. Because I remember watching that in the theater going, this is just fucking Highlander with Mario Van Peebles. And this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It was like straight down to even like the whole car sequence with the Kurgan. But it was just Mario Van Peebles.
Were they still aliens at that point?
Godzilla Final Wars was 2004. So it was 14 years between that and Shin Godzilla.
If you
don't count the American Godzilla because it's a separate series, then I would definitely say Shin Godzilla is up there as far as quality films with a gap in the series. And then obviously if you talk how far from the original, that's like, you know, 70 years gap.
Yeah, and Shin is a really, really good film. It's one of the few films I really like with subtitles. And I always want to get my West Wing mixed with my Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm not counting H2O, like, because that gets weird. Like, if you count, it's like we're just saying about the Godzilla thing. If you say from the original to this reboot that is a sequel to the first one and ignores all the continuity in the middle, then you get this gap, but then you don't have that gap between the previous film and the series.
Yeah, it's like looking at a Royal Dynasty family tree.
Yeah, because like, Godzilla movies, there's like, you know, 20-some movies, and at least half of them are direct sequels to the first one. because it just keeps rebooting itself over and over again, just because that's the easiest way to do Godzilla.
Yeah.
Also, yes, American Godzilla is... Well, Godzilla 1998 with Matthew Broderick is canon, because that is Zilla. So it's not a Godzilla movie, but it does take place in the Toho canonical universe. But I don't think the legendary Godzilla is part of the Toho series. So I don't think those are canonical within the same series.
Also,
Toho gave the rights to Legendary to release Godzilla films. In fact, that's why we haven't got a Shin Godzilla sequel yet, is because they have to wait until after King of Monsters and Godzilla vs. Kong come out before they can make another Toho one, because they don't want to step on each other's toes.
Isn't Toho... but isn't the legendary version of Godzilla, isn't he significantly larger than actual Godzilla?
He fluctuates. Okay. In every series, he fluctuates. He is the biggest one, though, yes. But he's gone up and down, but he's large.
Oh, but that, I tell you, there are two posters I want to get a hold of. One is the shot in Shingen's Godzilla of him just blasting Tokyo to bits. Just all
don't
you
bomb
see
Godzilla,
is,
he gets angry.
Yeah, all you see is just a giant ball of flame and the buildings in the forefront. It just looks so beautiful. That and the other one I want is a giant poster of Captain America standing on that spot there with
the shield
of,
and the yeah
all of Thanos' army oh, yeah. coming at him. Just oh my god, it's just a. I wish I saw the movie in IMAX just so I could have soaked in that sequence. So pretty.
Yep. No, I hear you.
I'd want them both on a T-shirt, just so people would be wondering why.
Combine them.
Yeah. So does somebody have Zappity Grumbles up and ready?
I have Facebook.
All right. Do I need to? I'll run up Twitter.
Sure.
I don't know if we have any in Twitter, but I'll look.
All right. First question from Don Weeks. In the summer, my gaming takes a backseat to camping. Do you guys have any summer fun activities that help recharge the gaming batteries?
First, not a quick answer here, but I want to question your camping. Is your camping involve actual camping, or is your camping involve I take a house to join other people's houses in the middle of not actual camping?
Because I am not Don Weeks, I cannot answer that.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm. I can't do actual camping anymore because I'm on CPAP for severe sleep apnea. So
that would be an
you
issue.
You need power.
I need power.
You need power. Yeah.
And I mean, also, this is fantastic because I don't really care for camping in the first place.
You just want that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. This is also kind of helpful because I don't actually really care for camping all that much. And now I have a fantastic reason to say no because I'll die.
You could take a generator with you.
Yeah, no.
Then you just have to deal with the generator noise.
Yeah.
And everybody else has to deal with your generator noise.
Yeah.
When I think of camping, I know people like go into a park with their camper and they're just basically it's almost like a trailer park home.
It's a small hotel room. That's not camping.
That's not camping to me. To me is literally taking
a
tent out in the middle of the forest where you have to dig your own shitter and where you have to build your own campfire. That's camping to me. It sucks sometimes because it's super hot or whatever.
But I mean, also, I never grew up doing it because, I mean, my father always said, yeah, I used to do that all the time when I was little, just that we called it poverty.
Sure. Talking about games that recharge during the summer?
Well, just activities that summer fun activities that recharge the gaming batteries.
I mean, also, this is Wisconsin, so once summer rolls around, you can add drinking outdoors to the list.
Drinking outdoors to a campfire?
Nice bonfire. Cornhole. Some s'mores.
They've got that beer garden on the lake here, which is nice.
Yeah.
Go to the Wisconsin State Fair, watch some racing pigs.
I have never been to a Wisconsin State Fair.
Well, you can go this year.
All right.
We can go,
Can I go with you?
The only issue with going with me is that Raylene loves to go into the expo building.
Do you get to pet animals?
Well, no. There's like petting zoos and stuff like that. You get to do all that stuff, but there's a whole building that's just like...
Show.
It's the Alliant Energy Center where it's just booths.
Mm-hmm.
So think of like the convention hall in like Gen Con or something where it's all the merch booths, but all of them are just selling like As Seen on TV shit. And my wife wants to go up and down every aisle for 6 hours. That's her favorite part of it.
I could probably take Leslie, and she would want to do that sure. too. So you and I, we could tag along talking about whatever, and then they can go.
Yeah, it was like we went to this, went to like the Madison Kids Expo, and there were like bouncy castles in the back, and then the rest of it was karate lessons and multi-level marketing schemes, just door to door.
Yeah. That's it. You can all go to the state fair together. Big group outing. Watch some pigs race, eat some corn, get a deep-fried old-fashioned. Those things are delicious. Good times.
I hope they have cheese curds.
They have cheese curds. They have cheese curds. I think there's a map to like all the individual cheese curd deep-fryeries, and you can do a tour of it. No. Good stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we basically just do Wisconsin summer stuff.
Oh.
I mean, nothing to really recharge our gaming batteries, but it's just what we do.
I mean, taking a break is usually helpful for that, just stepping away for a bit because it lets you look at it and go, yeah, this is worth my time.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Or time to clean.
I said zappity! Grumble! God.
What is the weirdest job interview you've had or heard about?
Well, I could talk about a job interview I watched. It was on Step Brothers. It was entertaining as hell.
A real one?
When they interviewed it as a team.
Yeah.
So I once had a group interview. So there were seven people.
Oh.
No. And not like seven people interviewing me. It was one guy interviewing seven of us at once.
Wow.
What?
And one of the questions that they had was, what are you proud about in a work experience and stuff like that? And one of the guys' answer was, I was homeless for 3 months and my coworkers didn't realize.
Well done, I guess.
Soon afterwards, I got pulled out of that room because they realized I was so highly overqualified they had to look for a different position for me to apply to because they were afraid I was going to quit before training was over.
I interviewed once at a healthcare company in Kentucky and for a software architect position, and they were showing me around. And I said, "Well," and it's like, "I'm not. You run like an open floor office with cubicles." And I said, "I'm not really interested in a cubicle position. It's enough of a quality of life thing. But if I don't get an office, I'm not interested in the job." And the guy interviewing me was like, "Well, we have a more equitable situation because a lot of places use like office size to delineate status, and we try to have everybody set up so they're in a similar office situation." I said, "Look," and I said, "I don't care if everyone gets an office. I'm just not working without one." And he didn't really take kindly to that, and so I just left.
Well, wouldn't you get one if everyone gets one?
Yeah, I mean that was what I told him. It's like,
you're good. Yeah. I'm glad I will get one.
Well, no. I mean, that was what I said. I don't care if you give everyone an office. I don't care about it for the status. I just want a closable door for a quality of life thing. And
sure.
I'm not going to spend 40 hours a week in an open floor office again. That's just a threshold for me now.
Sure,
that's fair.
And the guy was kind of pissed off, and I said, "Look, I don't care if you give everyone one. I just want one."
Oh, sure. So yeah. It wasn't that they gave everyone one. No. It's that they had currently had
an office. Yeah, it was that their excuse for
it. I thought that
it.
They said that they had, that literally yeah. everybody got an office, and you're like, no. Good, I want one.
Yeah.
And I misunderstood your
yeah,
story.
Yeah, no, that was because the argument for that was, yeah, no, it's equitable. It. And I'm like, no.
Fuck
no.
Equity.
Yeah. Basically, they're just saying it's like, we only give our supervisors offices.
No, they had the supervisors in cubicles too. It was just, I think it was only the executives and the people who actually worked on the phone got offices.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. I just said no, and it's like, if you can't give me a closing door, I'm not interested in the job.
I was interviewing somebody when I was a manager at Target, and one of the canned questions we had to ask was, tell us about a time when you took responsibility for an issue, like a time, you know, that something went wrong. And his example of a time that he had to, like, rise up and take responsibility for something that went badly was the time that he opened a box and his box cutter damaged the thing inside the box, and he was so brave to take the blame for his box cutter's mistake.
Okay.
I'm like, wait, wait, what? like you're wild and had him explain it twice, and he legit was just saying, that stupid box cutter fucked up, and it damaged the stuff inside the box, but I stood proud, and I took the fall for my box cutter's mistake, and it's like, bye?
You said, wait, what? That means you take a shot.
Yeah.
That's it. That was like another interview experience I had. This time I was on the panel of 12 people interviewing someone, because this was in the cafeteria in college, as student managers, we got to interview the next crop of student manager people. And there was a question of, why do you want this job? The actual answer is, because it says manager in my title, so it looks good on my resume.
Right.
But you don't say that.
Right.
And then someone said that, and we all just looked at each other, and we had to figure out the quickest way to say goodbye.
Because I don't know, or you're hired. Or you're hired. Respect their honesty.
I mean, that wasn't the first flag, but okay. That was the last flag.
Sure.
Was it? He was just blatant about, I'm applying for this job because it'll look good on my resume in the future.
Wonderful.
This doesn't pertain to an interview, but I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I worked at a call center where somebody made it through the interview process, and that person was deaf. Made it through training. and they worked in a call center.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, so the person made it through the interview, made it through all of training.
Just because they could read lips and could speak?
Could read lips and could speak, you know, with a good inflection of their voice, and made it to the phone stage. But they were deaf.
They never brought, they never thought to put forth this information during the process.
The process. Also, the call center training never involved talking into a phone?
No, they're deaf. They could talk fine.
Yeah, but didn't they have to make a test call with somebody else in the training environment?
I don't know. They ended up on the floor.
Is this just a complex ADA scheme that they're going that they're going to get there, get fired, and from them promptly sue them under the violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Probably what I think that they were hoping for, or that's probably what they got because, that was 20 some years ago.
Zappity. All right.
Andy wins.
Yeah. Zappity. I said zappity, you sons Grumble. Of bitches.
Welsh Masters, top 10 players of 186. 5 Circle, 3 Menoff, 2 Grimken. Thoughts?
Circle's still broken because of what's her face in that theme.
Mm-hmm.
And Menoff is broken because of Harby and having shield guards she can martyr. You fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I think Protectorate is more broken than Circle right now.
So many models that are free that are
I think Harbinger Krios 1 is the best pairing in the game right now, and admittedly, substantially a big part of that is because you can drop both of those and either of those into most Circle lists anyway.
Right. I would love to have a time machine to go and take, some of these pairings that are there. And go back to the beginning of Mark III and say Harbinger and Krios 1 are going to be the top in 4 years, and you're like, did you see Harbinger's stats?
Right.
You see what they did to her for Mark III?
But it is well understood that Circle and Protectorate are broken, and Grimken is not too far behind right now. And a lot of us in the more competitive community are just seriously waiting for the inevitable adjustment.
Game's healthy. No problems here. How are
all
you doing?
All is fine.
I say, I haven't played a game from Adepticon, and the stories I keep hearing are making me go, do I want to?
Yeah, maybe eventually there will be a Mark 3.5 or a Mark 4, and I'll dust off my models. Mm-hmm. Until then, I'll just play Mon Pok and masturbate. Not at the same time. Not at the same time, Andy.
Well,
yeah, I was going to say, those are some.
I mean,
some
if you wanted to.
Models.
Yeah.
I mean, no. Have you seen his paint job?
Oh, is that what comes out? Is it color shifted?
Yep. He's got a medical condition.
It's like that Sparkle Ranch at Popeyes.
The matte gloss. It's the matte finish, Andy. It's the matte finish.
I'm not going to elaborate any further. I'm just going to...
Zappity.
Grumbo!
Top 5 huge bases in the game.
Adjudicator. Number 2, Judicator. Supreme Guardian, the Turtle. Judicator, Supreme Guardian, Siege Animantrix are the top 3.
You're not going to go Prime Axiom at all on that action?
I'm not sure Prime Axiom
is broke fucktacular.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it gets in the top. I'm not sure it gets in the top 5.
It's
because
the best colossal.
It is not better than Adjudicator.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I would say
TEP?
Are we talking unsupported or in the lists that run them?
Yep,
I think the Vulcan is in the top 5, and I'm thinking about what the fifth one is. It may be Primaxium, but
in a vacuum, the Primaxium is the best Colossal.
No, the Judicator is the Judicator is supremely broken.
So
I mean,
top five,
eh?
But there's only eight. So we'd be naming over half of them in our top five.
What?
So
we're talking different game.
They're being funny.
So
they're talking.
Pride. I think Pride is probably like one of the top ones.
This is revenge for Gwent.
I was about to say.
Pride would be up there.
Cena, of course.
Cena definitely is probably very the top. I mean, the music, you hear the trumpets hit, and when Cena comes out, you can't even see him on the field.
It is one of the Guild Ball one. Top five tiny ankles.
Top five tiny ankles.
We only have to pick five.
Yeah.
I that's like
the five most inexplicably tiny ankles
that ruin
your life.
10% of the models.
Yeah.
So Shaft, Yukai.
Shaft, Yukai, Siren, Pin Vice.
Yeah. What was the first one again?
Shaft.
Shut your mouth.
No, not Shaft. Fuse. Fuse was the
no, but Shaft, and then I had to say shut your mouth.
I just love how like in each run of the new captains, one model appears to have absorbed all of the resin.
Yeah.
Okay, so the top four, and I will die on this hill of huge bases and War Machine Lords.
This is your Calvary Hill.
Yes. So the top four, and I will die on this hill, are Adjudicator, Siege Animantrix, Supreme Guardian, and Vulcan. And there are a number of them I could see going in the fifth slot. Primaxium is one. Railless Interceptor is one. TEP is one.
I think the TEP is closer to the top.
The Dawn Mower is a competitor, and the Arcantric Force Generator is a competitor as well. But there's a lot of competition for the fifth slot. But those are the top four. I think they're head and shoulders above the rest of them.
In a vacuum, the Judicator is not better than Primaxium. Because your version of a vacuum has the fucking choir in it. Your version of a vacuum has the vassal in it. In a vacuum, this model is not.
Well, no, we don't. I rarely take the vassal anymore.
But the choir, at least.
But I mean, in a vacuum, if you're in the Protectorate, the choir is still there.
No, that's not a. So that's the point. I mean, if you're going to do that, then you have to include. No, in a vacuum, it's not. The choir's not in that fucking vacuum. That's
yes,
the point
it
of
is.
The term in a vacuum. It's literally what the term means. You can't add other shit into the vacuum.
Come on, Blockader.
Have you ever played Protectorate? I mean, literally, you will never see Adjudicator without a choir because they are in every theme
and
you'll
also
list.
Never see a Primaxium without their support models.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
That's not what in a vacuum means.
I know, but I'm saying I am abstracting away like the caster in it because you never.
That's a different question.
David. You son of a bitch!
Okay, right, so Adjudicator.
In a vacuum.
Okay, then why are we even talking about Adjudicator? Because you never see Adjudicator without choir, so it's pointless about talking about it.
I'm going to go kill myself. Zappity, motherfucker.
Alice Cooper is playing next month.
Zappity.
It is pointless to talk about it that because it will never happen.
Yes, but it was the point of the conversation.
Was the exact question? Is in a vacuum?
No, but that was my question.
Yeah, I think it's in a vacuum. Which one is the best model?
I mean, it's a completely different conversation. However, I mean, Game of Thrones starts in 11 minutes.
Exactly.
I have no recommendation this week.
My recommendation, I'll do two now to steal one of Dan's because he didn't do one, is any version ever of The Tick animated series, first live action, second live action, the comics. It's a masterpiece, flawless start to finish. There's never been a bad anything Tick related. Also, all your favorite shows like Firefly or Supernatural or Angel, if you think about your favorite one-off episodes, those were all written by Ben Edlund, creator of The Tick, because he is fucking amazing all the time. So The Tick, The Tick, The Tick. Especially go watch the Amazon ones right now to bump up its ratings to hopefully get it picked up so we get season 3 on Netflix or something.
Yeah, already got canned.
as I repeat myself,
sure.
Go ahead and watch it right now to bump up its ratings, so maybe we get season 3 on Netflix or something, because we're not getting season 3 on Amazon. So make it look good so we get season 3 on Netflix or somebody else. I don't
Disney
care where.
Plus.
Because we need season 3. I'll take it.
No, you won't.
I would for The Tick. I love you, The Tick. So everything The Tick related. Also, there's a YouTube channel called Technology Connections, which is just a dude droning on about technology in depth, and he has that same like hypnotic listen to him while you're painting that stuff like How It's Made had. So I recommend it. Yeah. It's just like one dude, and he's a little more flavorful, and he actually like talks about, here's how Laserdisc machines worked, and now let's discuss why they failed. And, you know, the most recent one I watched him was talking about thermostats, and it was shockingly interesting to look at how and why thermostats function the way they do and stuff. You know, watch a couple videos.
How they have that spring that was invented in the 19th century that is still used.
Exactly. And then how they work with the different guide wires going to your your boiler and whatnot, and the mercury switch versus that. It's all really interesting stuff. Even if you have no idea what the fuck he's talking about, you get that comforting drone that like how stuff is made.
What's the name of this?
Technology Connections. I think with an S at the end.
Okay.
So those are my two.
All right, I will. I picked up Dark Souls 3 for the second time because it was on sale on Steam, and I didn't have the PC version of it, and played through it again. And I will recommend that game because it is just a really good game.
And which game? I was looking up. It is Technology Connections with an S.
Dark Souls 3.
Oh, sure.
It has been one of my favorite games to replay through, I was inspired by this after playing Sekiro, and while I like Sekiro, I don't think it's nearly as good as the Dark Souls games, especially Dark Souls 3, because of how many completely different ways you can play Dark Souls 3.
Sure. Yeah. Soulsborne games are just good, in general. Yeah. Like, From Software makes good fucking games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the ones that have bad things to them that are, like, insane and stupid, like the losing half your health permanently in Demon Souls and whatnot, those are still good games. They just have...
Yeah, I mean that.
Odd
I mean,
choices.
And also, if anybody is starting the series, I would suggest starting with Dark Souls 3 because it has fewer of the punishing things. And while I love Dark Souls 2, and I think Dark Souls 2 has a better story, and especially the ambiance of Dark Souls 2 is just amazing. It has a couple of issues. It has a couple of mechanics that I don't really care for, and I think are more difficult to play around.
Sure.
I just wish Sekiro had easy mode. That was a troll comment. That doesn't actually represent what I do at all.
I do. And fuck you if you're dumb. Like whatever. Use it, don't use it. God, people are so dumb.
Anyway. I don't think I've actually ever recommended this, but if you want a nice, easy side game to your War Machine Gaming that plays similar, that does not have the investment, as in money-wise, I'd recommend Guild Ball. Giving that a shot, giving that a whirl, because it's a cheap game, plays similar, takes about the same amount of time to play, less models. All models are unique, so if you enjoy painting them, it's not a chore. That is, instead of painting the same 10 models for a unit.
It doesn't have units, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're giving me a flashback to when Guild Ball first came out and every asshole was like the Mormons coming to your door.
Sure.
Have you heard about our good Lord and Savior Guild Ball? It's like, shut up.
It's okay. They've all quit.
Yes.
Which is why Andy and I now play it.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Those assholes are all gone because they were all Flavor of the Monthers in the first place. Mm-hmm. And the ones who weren't Flavor of the Monthers were decent enough people that when Steamforge said, please stop doing that shit, they stopped doing that shit.
Correct. I mean, it's got about the same type of learning curve as War Machine Hordes does, as in the your investment.
With a 10x reduction in models to learn.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, you're still learning is basically... If you were asking what does that player do, mm-hmm. or what does that legendary do, you've probably lost.
Yeah,
it's in that type of investment is in your time of actually learning what other things do in the game.
The thing I like about it more though is there's 200 models you have to learn, not 1,300.
Right.
There's more than 1,300 in War Machine Hordes, but I mean, you're looking for something on the side, like I said.
I wonder how many different models there actually are in War Machine Hordes.
I mean, there's over 200 casters,
sure,
just by themselves, and then each army has got at least They're just probably, you know, it 10 might be
1,300 SKUs. I don't know.
Yeah, like look at your average faction, right? Like, let's look at Crix. They've got how many casters? Like a dozen now?
18.
Okay, 18.
No, they have 21, I think.
Okay. So, 20 casters. Yep. Okay, how many jacks?
How many jacks?
How many different jacks does Crix have? 30?
Probably close.
Probably close to 30.
I mean, I could run a, I could run a query on the database I have that handles.
Oh, yeah, actually, what? Yeah.
Dave, look
select all for models.
Well, that are not, well, I mean, it's a little more complex.
Yeah, I don't want the Mercs because that's going to pad because they're going to be counted in every one or whatever. Because, you know, so if you have like 20 casters, 30 war jacks, 20 solos.
Probably.
And 15. Then are there 30 different units slash UAs?
Probably 15 to 20. Yeah.
15 to 20, I would say, for units.
So if.
Remind me when I get home. I can give you an absolute count.
So I don't think, does each faction have 100 different things? Not based on that quick math.
Yeah.
But close. I mean, close enough. Yeah, there were over 1,000, right?
Yeah, it's around 1,000, I believe.
Yeah, so that was kind of a tangent of curiosity to try to rough number.
Yeah,
how
it's probably
there.
In the 12 to 1,500 total across 15 factions.
Yeah.
As I recall, it was in the 940s when Mark III was released, and I mean,
that just plain skews, though.
I'm talking about actual unit or entry in conflict chamber.
Oh,
the concept is for essentially a unique card. I call it an entry within the system. Okay. And my recollection is that there are 940 something entries when Mark III first.
Yeah.
Came
well,
out.
And the other thing is my numbers are based off retail skews,
which is
a very different way of slicing things by the way that they break apart and combine certain things.
Right. Because you're going to have some things which will have two different SKUs and some things that two different things have one SKU because of modular kits.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I should warn about my recommendation for Guild Ball is that you will have to probably rely on the secondary market to pick up your models because...
Steamforge forgot that no one in Europe knows how to make resin.
Correct.
Yeah,
I think they're on their second resin
also,
producer.
Hey, you know, you can still go to that Guild Ball Championship event, right, guys?
Hey, I got in.
The one that was already sold out?
Yep.
Weird.
They added 20 slots.
Yay!
And I actually followed Vince's instructions and put my name on the waitlist right away, so I got in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually already signed up for it before I knew it was a U.S. championship event.
Chad asked about counting the minion lesser warlocks. Since we were discussing models to learn the rules for, I would say that the lessers that come with a beast would count as two things to learn because we're looking at cards, basically.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, looking at cards.
And
but
Scareth
will
fuck you if you don't know what she does.
But yeah, I would
as will Rorsch.
Yeah. But I would consider those being a single entity because you're not going to see them separate from each other.
Sure. So
I mean, it depends on how big your visual cone is.
So is this inside or outside of a vacuum?
So because then you're asking like Alexia and the Risen, how many different things are you learning? Like there's Alexia the Risen and the Thrall Warriors. All are that one unit.
I would consider them as being
one
an
thing.
Entity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Thrall Warriors.
Even still, there's fewer than 10 models that we're cutting out if we lump those, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's not going to make a huge difference in this splash.
No. But I am curious about the number, though. That'd be very interesting.
Yeah,
to see.
No.
Stay tuned.
Not to say I don't love War Machine Hordes. I mean, I've got so many fucking armies for that right now. But I am kind of on a break right now, and I'm enjoying my Guild Ball time, and I will eventually be War Machine.
There is a rumored substantial rebalancing coming on the middle of this year, like shortly after Lock and Load, and I'm looking forward to that because the game has problems right now.
Obsidian
and
or whatever. What was that thing called?
Oblivion. Yeah, I mean there are rumors that there's more that there's more stuff coming. I don't know the veracity of them, but there are rumored changes coming on after Lock and Load.
Game of Thrones.
7:59, bitches.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Yep.
Ish. Maybe.